Welcome to the UTG podcast. Understanding the Gospel is an online resource to help people understand how the Gospel of Jesus Christ is lived out. On today's podcast, we're going to discuss life after lockdown. For those of us living in Scotland, this week marks the start of the easing of lockdown restrictions, which enable us to gather again as churches, whilst others elsewhere in the UK have been able to do that for a few weeks. It's good to think through the issues that will affect us as Christians as we think of life after lockdown. Today on the podcast, we would like to welcome Paul Coxall and Adrian Ferguson.
Good evening, Alistair.
Hi, Alistair. Nice to see you.
Now, just on the off chance, there are some people who actually don't know who the two of you are. Maybe it would be helpful just to give a little introduction.
Hi, my name's Paul Coxall. I live in Aberdeen. I'm an elder in the assembly at Fernlee, but I'm not local to Scotland. I was born and raised in the fine city of Norwich in England. I was saved in my mid-20s, which is about 30 years ago.
Hello everyone, it's Adrian Ferguson. I'm age 48 and I've been living in Perthshire pretty much all my life. I was brought to hear the gospel as a four-year-old boy, and as a nine-year-old I responded to the call of the Lord and was gloriously saved, and hopefully I've never looked back. God has been so good to me in many ways. I'm married to Audrey, and we have a very happy little home there in rural Perthshire. I attend Perth Gospel Hall in Perth, and I've been an elder there for a number of years, and I love serving the Lord there among the saints in Perth.
So thank you both for being with us today. It's good to be able to get your input, especially because I know that you're both serving as elders, and you have a thoughtful way that you try to discharge that responsibility. And I know for every area throughout the UK that there's been a different way that life in lockdown has affected us all. For us in Shetland, we went into a self-imposed lockdown a week before everybody else in Scotland, when schools shut and people just stayed at home. But for you guys, what's life in lockdown been like?
That's a good question, because one of the first things that I noticed about lockdown is that we really didn't have a plan as elders in the Gospel Hall. It came upon us so quickly. One day we were meeting to remember the Lord, the next day we were locked down. And so it's been an incredible challenge. Now, to add to the complication, right now about 25 folks in the Gospel Hall came down with flu-like symptoms, which we actually think was probably COVID-19. And they all came down at the same time, and a number of folks were pretty seriously ill. So we were trying to function as best we can on new technology, with a number of folks being ill, with actually half our oversight actually being ill. So it was actually an incredible challenge in a very short period of time. If only we had a few more days' notice, we might have made a better job at it.
Well, lockdown obviously happened very quickly. There was just one Lord's Day. We were remembering the Lord quite different, with individual cups and individual pieces of bread and not shaking hands. And then the next day we were told about this lockdown that we have. But we were quite fortunate because some of us had experience with Zoom platform. So we had lockdown announced on the Monday, but by the Wednesday for our prayer meeting, we were able to meet via Zoom. And had about, even then, 90% of the assembly on board. So we're very fortunate with regard to that, and thankful for the technology. Obviously, there's quite a few cons, but there were some positives in using that technology as well.
I think many of us have been able to learn lots of very good lessons as a result of the pandemic and living in lockdown. But before we get to some of those lessons, it might be helpful just to kind of ask the question, as you guys are serving as elders, what are the challenges that you have faced as you try to shepherd God's people?
Okay, Alistair, I think one of the biggest problems is it all came so fast and we had so little time to try and react to that. One of the things we did in Perth was we kind of delegated responsibility. For example, the elders, their primary responsibility is to care for the saints, and that was what we took on. And we delegated responsibility for various works to other people, particularly the evangelism. And that actually has flourished during the lockdown time. But there's been at my own heart, I've actually been struggling with the whole subject of mental health, particularly, and young people, because I've felt that some of the young folks love the contact and almost the being together, and that's been taken away from them. So I've been very burdened the whole time about how to shepherd the saints. Shepherding, you've got to be with them, you're meant to be hospitable, you're meant to be able to pour in oil, you're meant to anoint the sick, but we can't do any of that at the moment. So it's actually been an incredible challenge just to try and encourage each other at this time. But I will say the saints have certainly risen to it, and we've got a lot to thank God for.
Yeah, from an elder's perspective, seeking to sort of shepherd or counsel people, it has been very difficult during this period when you can't enter other people's homes, you can't actually be within 2 meters of them. So, I mean, there are things you can do, obviously, and we have done with phone calls, probably more phone calls than we've done before the lockdown, which have been appreciated, but only accomplish so much. It's not the same communication as being with people. I mean, we've been pleased through the prayer meetings, which we host via Zoom, that more people have been able to attend. I mean, families with children, where sometimes it was a mother or father couldn't get out because of the children at home, have now been able to attend the prayer meetings. So, yeah, the percentage of the assembly at the prayer meetings has gone up, which has been a real blessing during this time. And we've also experienced saints from smaller assemblies, perhaps assemblies that haven't been able to host online meetings, have joined with us for our different meetings as well. So I've seen some positives which have been helpful for people during this COVID crisis. But we can't wait. We're now in Scotland, been allowed to have people into our homes as from today. So we'll hopefully make use of that during these coming days to visit people and have people visit, even though we're still staying 6 feet apart.
Yeah. It's been interesting speaking to different people from different assemblies. I know some assemblies have not wanted to do or have their meetings over Zoom. I know we in the assembly at Bray, we chose to do that and to host our various different meetings over Zoom. But having been able to enjoy the fact that we're able to do something at the early stages, I think that kind of 3 months now in, we're all pretty tired and all zoomed out. What have you thought about the kind of use of Zoom?
I think when we first got Zoom up, and many people in the assembly had never seen Zoom before, and everyone thought it was brilliant, you know, the idea that, because everyone was worried, they're from a low base of expectation, thinking, oh, we're not going to be able to meet. But then introducing people who had never seen it before, that they could speak to each other via video. In fact, they could see each other. So at first there was this, you know, great excitement about it because there were low expectations. But perhaps, and speaking to a number of people, I think Zoom fatigue is around. We try and alleviate that. But many people have just been on lots of round of video calls. So I think there is, and it's been great while we've had it, but it's nothing like being together.
No, it's interesting, I think, just to see how different assemblies have tried to fulfill their responsibilities to shepherd and care for God's people. But of course, we also have a responsibility to unbelievers when we think of reaching out with the gospel. And the restrictions that are placed upon us has meant a huge impact to the way that we evangelize. And yet, the whole uncertainty of life has definitely presented an opportunity in the gospel. But how have you sought to kind of work through your responsibilities in evangelism?
Okay, a lot of things had to stop, Alistair. You can imagine that we were involved in reaching out to young people. We're reaching out to teenagers and adults and to homeless. And a lot of that had to stop. We couldn't have our gospel meetings anymore. We could hardly go around the doors. So it had to stop. We know that sometimes good things stop and can be replaced by great things. I guess what we've understood out of this, Alistair, is that God has always been sovereign. He's been over all. And although we can't gather as we used to gather, God's message is still going out with great power. We've just heard, I think it was yesterday, of another person who's come to know the Lord. So that's five people in our sort of immediate circle that we've heard who've come to faith in Christ over this time. So actually, I think God has been moving in a wonderful way, even though we can't gather together. And we thank God for that. There's been some good things about the evangelism and some not so good things. I think personally, I tried to become some sort of film star when I was recording my messages. And actually, I probably should just be myself. And I've probably learned a lot about that myself. So there you are, we thought for any budding preachers.
Well, like Adrian has said, you know, the things that we were doing in the hall were all shut down, all the children's meetings, the gospel meetings. My virtually full-time ministry was going into lots of local primary schools and teaching Christianity to older primary children in this program I put together and had been doing for the last 12 months. But obviously that was shut down as the schools locked down. You remembered that God was totally in control in this whole situation. He's not taken his eye off the ball, so to speak. But what we were able to do just before the lockdown, we put out some cards, a coronavirus community support effort, offering for people who were going to be shut in, people who were isolated, offering to collect shopping for them, a phone call, post and mail, collecting prescriptions. And in God's good timing, we got those cards all distributed by the Monday lunchtime. And on the Monday late afternoon, it was announced that there was this lockdown. We wouldn't have been able to do that. And through these cards being distributed, we've been able to help people in the community, people who had no contact with before, in predominantly bringing shopping to them, some collecting prescriptions, some just wanted a phone call. And every time we've taken shopping, it's been very appreciated, much appreciated by them. And we've given tracts, we've given some booklets related to the COVID situation, which promote the gospel. So it's been, you know, we've been able to use it by God's grace positively. And these links that we now have with people and contacts, we hope will carry on after this crisis.
I think it's fair to say that the lockdown has had a huge impact upon everybody's life. And as we've been thinking through these issues about how we shepherd or how we evangelize, lockdown has certainly brought its challenges. But even in the midst of some of those challenges, has there been any blessings, or what about the concerns that you've had?
Well, Alistair, when the very first Wednesday night that we had on Zoom, I was a speaker, and I said, it might be the case that we won't all be gathered together again at the end of this. And I was thinking that maybe some people would be called home to glory, but that's not happened in Perth. But now my concern has changed, that maybe my words were prophetic, and I've been worried about young people, particularly maybe who have been on the periphery. And I've been concerned about whether they'll be gathered together again, because young people of all folks have struggled with this technology. You would have thought they would be the best with this technology, but they've actually struggled the most because they don't want to show their face. They don't want to say anything. They feel very self-conscious. They feel that the adults know so much more than them. And it's just been impossible almost to draw alongside them. But we've just been praying that God would work in their lives. There has been a couple of good things, and I think Paul's touched on one or two of these already. We found that some people have taken part in the prayer meetings that didn't normally take part regularly in the hall. And that's been really encouraging. We've had some great missionary reports from different places. And although the schools are closed at the moment, we have been in contact with the council, and you just never know, we might be able to get into the schools through video links and so on. So the doors are still there, and God will open the right doors at the right time.
Yeah, picking up on what Adrian has said there, you know, God is totally sovereign and in control. I was reminded of that today as I read in Daniel chapter 4, That was his lesson to Nebuchadnezzar. It still is lesson to us today. So we rest in that, the sovereignty of God. We wouldn't have chosen this situation ourselves, but God is all wise and he has a perfect plan. So we do rest in that. So that's a blessing, I think, that has been brought at this time. We have people who have lost jobs as a result of the economy slowing down. And that's a concern for people who want to provide for their families, people who are just starting out in work and life. So we have a concern about that and want to sort of draw near to people who are having those experience and these trials as well. So there's concerns, but I think the blessing has been also as well to reflect and to sometimes, in the busyness of life and the busyness of activity and lots of legitimate activities, we can sometimes be distracted from the really important things. I think one of the blessings that has come out of this lockdown crisis is that we've been able, hopefully, to reflect on that which is most important: prayer, Bible study, reading the Bible together as a family, or as couples. And those things you've been able to do more regularly and with greater duration during the lockdown crisis. So we've enjoyed those times. And, the Bible calls us to redeem the time. Redeem the time. Make use of that time that God has given to us. And it's a challenge, but the instruction still applies in lockdown, out of lockdown, as Paul was in a prison cell, to redeem the time wisely as God allows.
I remember somebody at the very start of lockdown gave a word of ministry to the assembly and explained that God had given us a unique opportunity to stop and to reevaluate what was important so that we didn't just go back to the same routine post-lockdown as what we had done and what we'd been in pre-lockdown. So as we think about this kind of life after lockdown, what is it that you anticipate are going to be the kind of challenges that lie ahead of us?
Well, Alistair, I've given this an awful lot of thought over the last few weeks. Personally, I've been an advocate that we shouldn't rush into things. Although lockdown came very quickly, the opposite of lockdown, whatever that's called, is not going to come quickly. And particularly in the case of the Perth Assembly, we have round about 80 or so in fellowship, a mixture of ages and stages in life. And I would not be a believer in that splitting the assembly into age profiles or age groups or health groups. I want really to gather once we're all able to gather, or at least the majority of us are able to be gathered and there's no restrictions upon us. Now, I understand that some might want to stay at home because they're either not feeling well or they are concerned, and I totally understand that. But I want to make sure that out of this comes unity, because unity in God's things is paramount. I don't think we place enough emphasis on unity. We place an awful lot of emphasis on disunity, but unity is the desire of our God. And I believe that it's something we need to be concerned about. And as an elder, this is a very, very big issue. Something to think about for us all there.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. I think, again, picking up on what Adrian said, maintaining the unity of the spirit, a unity of mind is important. And, that comes from a heart, I think, that is our hearts that are humble, not seeking our own interests above others. I was thinking about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, how we're called to, be considerate with others. It does say there, of course, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. And I think there's instruction for all time, for all of us, but particularly as we come out of lockdown. We're not going to come out as quickly as we went into it. That's clear, isn't it, really? And so there will be people who will be wanting to be cautious. They've got concerns. They might be allowed to be out and of the house, but because of that, concerns about the crisis will not come out. So I think we have to be patient with all people with regard to that, and just to make the appropriate arrangements as we can. So we need to consider others, have that humility of purpose, but the desire to meet again, as as Scripture brings before us, that desire to remember the Lord, to be around His Word, to be with His people. And so we seek to do that. And I think that's important as well, worth mentioning, that where we don't violate Scripture, to be submissive to the government, and to be submit to the government authorities, and not just with a fear of being punished if we don't, but also for conscience. A conscience is a tender thing, so we don't go against our conscience in anything. Romans 13:5. Let's be patient, but let's have a desire to meet together again, encourage that where it is possible.
It's really helpful just to think through some of those issues, challenges that we face as we think about life after lockdown. I think that one of the interesting things that lockdown and the whole COVID-19 pandemic has highlighted is the importance of the autonomy of the assembly. Now, this is a doctrine that we preach and we believe in. Sometimes it's a doctrine that gets muddied a little bit by sinful behaviours. But nevertheless, it's something that we need to uphold, especially when we think about the fact that assemblies can have very different and unique features. We think of a size of one assembly versus another, the age profile, and all of these things are relevant when we think about COVID-19 and adhering to the governments, as Paul's been talking about. So what do you think are the differences that assemblies may have that Scripture would afford them to have?
Well, as you know, no one size fits all. And the big issue that's been going through a lot of people's minds is the whole subject of the emblems. They're so precious to us to remember the Lord. I was just looking in 1 Corinthians 11 to think a little bit more about that. It seems to say one cup and one loaf. And I think it's an important picture, both in unity and the fact that it's speaking of the Lord's body. So it's going to be a bit of a challenge for us all that we're going to be seeing that symbol in a slightly different format with individual cups and possibly individual loaf. But I trust that's a temporary measure. I know that others have different views on that. And I believe if you read the commentaries too, they've got all kinds of views on that. But there is an important truth in that passage that we really mustn't miss. And that's the truth that says, let a man examine himself. And we've had more time for self-examination than ever in this lockdown. But will we do it? Will we actually go back to the gatherings of purer life, more holiness, more like Christ, more in touch with Him? And I hope that post-lockdown, that as individuals, which make an assembly up, that we'll be in a better position. Now, the assemblies are autonomous, we believe that, but we do also get good advice from one another. So I'm one of those people that's willing to listen to other people's opinions. I don't always agree. Now, there's some magazine articles I've read recently and I don't agree with them, but still I totally respect the people that write these articles. Doesn't mean that we agree with everything. And I'll find that too, that there'll be some assemblies that will be very quick to go back and others will be slow. But God willing, we'll respect each other and we won't be looking down our noses saying we were there first, because that's not what matters. It's the purity of the assembly and it's the holiness of the gathering that actually matters.
I would wholly concur with what Adrian says there. It is certainly not going to be a one-size-fits-every assembly. And it is extremely important as well. As much as we can, discuss things with us, we can glean thoughts from other people. We have, in some places, there's people who are very high up in the medical profession who will be able to give good advice with regard to these things. We can get advice from others. But equally, in each assembly, we make our own decisions in accordance with God's words, in accordance with governmental guidance, where it doesn't conflict, and we do the best things possible for the saints and for the honour of our God and for the Lord Jesus Christ. Obviously, there'll be people, you know, we gather in halls generally, and some have got different sizes. Some have got a different demographic of people who attend. And so it is very obvious that it will be different for different people. You know, I just don't like the idea of deviating from one cup and one loaf, but we did that for one session before the lockdown. I imagine we will be doing that afterwards as well for some little time, hopefully not too long. So I think we bear that in mind. As said, Philippians 2:3 reminds us that we don't do anything from selfish ambition as individuals, not imposing our will on others. We look to the Lord, we humble ourselves before others, we submit to others and seek to serve him, to seek to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. We're ambassadors for Christ. How would he want us to act in this, and how would he act? So let's seek to do that, and not judge others in the assembly if they're cautious about coming out, not judge other assemblies. We will know the facts about it, about them. So there's just so many good reasons not to make judgments on what other assemblies do in this time.
I think it's a good observation that you've made, Adrian, that this past months have given everybody an opportunity to pause and to reflect and to probably question about what is truly important in life. I think that that's especially true for the Christian as much as it is for the non-Christian. But as we think about the kind of lessons that we can learn, what are the blessings that you want to take forward as you think about life returning to some kind of normality?
That's a good question. I've been pondering this a lot, and I haven't enjoyed lockdown, and it's because of who I am as well. You remember that not everyone's the same. Some people in our assembly have absolutely loved it. One sister who has just been a highlight of her day is because she loves her own company and she loves lockdown. It's great for her. She's been not down a minute. But I love busyness, and I love getting out, and I love, as they say, pressing the flesh. I know it's a political term, but I love that kind of thing. So lockdown has been difficult for people like myself. And the other thing is I found that laziness expands to the more time we have as well. And so it's not been particularly good for me, but there have been some nice things. There's been less stress. There's been less hurry. There's even, in my case, been slightly less weight. I managed to get myself a little bit healthier again, a little bit less cakes and a bit more exercise. And it's been good. We've spent more time with the Lord. But one thing that I should say is that we started off our lockdown period with sort of what I would call tidbits, which is just sort of small ministry and small teaching and not with very much expectation. But it's actually, as we've gone on, we've realized that we can really desire the sincere milk of the word. And recently we had our Bible teaching weekend with Alistair Sinclair, and Alistair some night spoke for nearly an hour, and there was no problem. The saints were able to cope with it. The ministry was so uplifting for the Lord that actually, perhaps if we look back and say, we could have done it differently, and maybe that way would be that actually we should have continued with deep teaching and solid ministry, and the saints probably could have concentrated on that despite the fact the circumstances were different.
Yeah, I think there probably a number of lessons, really. One of the things is many of us were extremely busy, yeah. And lockdown has caused most people, though not all, to slow down. Lots of activities that the assembly are normally involved in, which are good activities, have stopped. And so, again, the question has been, how do we use that time? And, I mean, one of the things, just myself and my wife, Grace, we've definitely spent more time reading the Word of God together and praying, as in, it's not happened that we've never had to miss an evening because we're then out, got to get out of the door to another activity, and we've probably spent longer in duration doing it. So those have been valuable times. You know, I'd like to keep those as best as we can going forward. You know, that's a very good basic to have in life for anyone. Reading God's word, praying, discussing it together, as a couple, as a family, or just as an individual, to do that. So I think, you know, we need to seek to maintain that as best as we can, even in life after lockdown. I think the lesson as well, as Adrian's intimated towards as well, the use of time, the use of time. And, you know, we need to, some people aren't good at self-control, as in, you know, remaining in bed a little bit long, and all of us can do that, and a bit used to wasting time. But we need to build self-control. I wrote recently about self-control on the UTG blog, and the Proverbs 25:28 was the verse there. A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. And sometimes the busyness of life, we can substitute that for thinking we're self-controlled because we're active. But it's when that comes away, do we really still have self-control? Do we have discipline in our lives? And hopefully people have developed it to some degree, develop more self-control, more discipline in their lives, and let's carry that on as we go through lockdown. You know, I was thinking as we thought of Bible reading and prayer, those vital things, sometimes other activities will come in, but let us be determined, a little phrase I learned, to not make the good the enemy of the best. We can fill our lives with lots of good things, but put out the best things. So I'm determined for myself personally that by God's grace, it's not going to happen. The best will remain and the good things will come on top, to get the priorities right in order there. So I think there's a number of lessons. Probably could speak for quite a long time on that, but I think that'll suffice.
I've really benefited from listening to what you guys have had to say this afternoon. But if there was one piece of advice that you could give me about how I should live my Christian life, what would it be?
I'm going to quote the words of that old hymn. Take time to be holy, speak oft with thy Lord. And if there's anything I could encourage a young person or any person, let's make holiness and a relationship with the Lord our utmost priority. And we need to just spend that time with him. Ultimately, this COVID-19 is a blip on eternity. It's not even going to be, as it were, measurable. It's so small and insignificant in eternity. But what matters is our relationship with the Lord, and we need to spend that more time to be holy, to speak often with our Lord.
Yeah, COVID-19. This is a unique time for all of us, what we've gone through and still a bit more to go through. Very few of us have experienced anything like this at all. Perhaps if you lived through the war, to some degree of experience, but none of us have experienced this unique time. So I would say, particularly to a young Christian, I'd ask them questions. What lessons have you learned from this crisis and through this crisis? As you reflect on it, what has been for good? What has been for bad? We can't change the past, but we can learn from the past. And this perhaps has been a unique lesson as you've gone through this crisis. Actually, as you've gone through this trial, and James 1 tells us that trials are for the testing of our faith, producing steadfastness, that we might be perfect and complete, but be more conformed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would hope that would be the case for many young Christians who are listening. But again, ask them, what have you learned and what can you bring into life after this?
That's really helpful, Paul and Adrian. Thank you both very much. I think that it's been a very helpful discussion. because for all of us now, there is this kind of expectation and hope that we have gone through the worst of it. And now we're looking as Christians and as churches to know how we ought to respond in the environment that we're in the months and weeks ahead. It just remains for me to say thank you very much to our two guests, Adrian Ferguson and Paul Coxall. It's great to have had you with us today.
Thanks very much and goodbye, and hope that you have a great day.
Yeah, thanks very much. It's been a pleasure to be on the podcast. I have got a face which is absolutely best suited for podcasts, so it's been a pleasure to be with you today, Alistair.
Thank you for everybody who's listened to this conversation today. Trust it's been a help to you and that you'll be able to join us again for the next UTG podcast. For more conversations like these or for other gospel-related articles or videos and interviews, then please check out the website, understandingthegospel.org.